If you're seeking and searching and studying to find the answer for your trial today, to dull the pain and fill the void, whatever you're dealing in, if you're looking anywhere but Jesus, you will continue to keep looking. Because you will find answers that seem like answers, that are not answers, that will never satisfy the human soul. Only one thing will satisfy your soul and my soul today, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Ezra chapter 7, looking at verse 10, as we listen to the conclusion of the message titled, How to Be on God's Mission.
Picture yourself tomorrow morning when your feet hit the floor, that the first thing that you do is, and you take that Bible from your nightstand and you start scouring the Scripture. No, not from a Pharisaical viewpoint. This is not legalism. Please don't miss this. Please. This is not legalistic. I read 73 verses this morning. I'm now saved. No, this is because you've been saved. You're now in a love relationship with your King, and this is what you desire to do. You want to become more intimate, right? I mean, if you're married, you become more close by talking, right? Amen. You have that intimacy there when there's dialogue. It's the same thing with our Father. You know, if we're just running to Him every time we're in a jam, that's not overly great dialogue. Although He wants us to cast our burdens on Him, that's a good thing. But what about His praise? What about His glory? What has He done for you today? He hasn't done anything for me today. Did He get you here, I won't say on time, but did He get you here in one piece? Praise God. I mean, there's countless numbers of blessings as we commune with our Savior, as we commune with our God, that we can just simply say, thank you. God, this life is not what I thought it would be. God, my life's unraveling before my eyes might be your honest, heartfelt prayer to God. Comma. Thank you, God, for just who you are. Ezra was in tune with God, communing with God, devouring His Word and His law. In the quest to search for the answer to your current trial, understand that the answer is only found in the answer, and His name is Jesus. Amen. If you're seeking and searching and studying to find the answer for your trial today, to dull the pain and fill the void, whatever you're dealing in, if you're looking anywhere but Jesus, you will continue to keep looking. Because you will find answers that seem like answers, that are not answers, that will never satisfy the human soul. Only one thing will satisfy your soul and my soul today, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Write this verse down, Matthew 6:33. You probably know this text. 25 through 34 is all about this really easy concept of not worrying, right? I have no idea why God even put that in the Bible. It's so easy to not worry, isn't it? It's one of the most difficult things that we will get through and conquer in our flesh, is not looking at our circumstances through the lens of our flesh, but beginning to look through our circumstances through the eyes of God and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Matthew 6:33, you know it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what happens? And all these things will be given to you. Does that mean that you're going to pray that prayer and you're going to wake up in Avila the next morning? And that's not what He's saying. What He's saying is this, if you look at that whole context, that, hey, I care for the birds of the air. If I care for them, I'm going to provide your need. There's going to be riches through Christ Jesus, your Lord, that it's going to meet your need. Maybe not what you want, but it's going to meet your need. And therefore, seek first the kingdom of God. Run hard after the kingdom of God. Diligently, just be a person that's so tenacious that I'm going to diligently, with great tenacity, seek my God in the morning.
Yes.
And we know this, for those who seek Him, guess what happens? They will find Him.
Yes.
What a great truth from God's Word today for you and for me. That our moments of despair, and our moments when we seem like literally our entire world is in shambles. When we seek our God, we will find Him. What a blessed assurance as you think through that. Corrie Ten Boom, one of my favorites, she dealt with incredible, incredible travesty and heartache in her life. She went through so much pain. She wrote these words: "When a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. When he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy." Well, it's easy to be paralyzed by our circumstances when we should be resting in the grace and mercy and truth of the One who set us free. That's why key number two, I want you to write this down, is this. Key number two: for my heart to be prepared, I must daily consume God's Word. Now, I want to repeat that and explain that. Number two here, key number two: for my heart to be prepared. You're at the point where you're going, I want to be prepared. I no longer want to run out on this battlefield on Monday morning tomorrow unprepared and get slaughtered. I'm tired of getting slaughtered. I want to be prepared. Okay, here's the great news. You're going to seek God with all your heart. All your heart, every fiber of your being, you're going to seek God.
Okay.
And so how do we do that? We seek God through His holy, living Word.
Amen.
This book is not dead. This book is alive. God speaks through His Word. And therefore, as we, with an open, pliable, flexible heart, say, God, speak to my heart today. Speak into my life. Pour truth into my life today. Minister to me today. Encourage me today. Rebuke me if I need to be rebuked. God, You just speak and help me receive it so that when I receive it, I will simply go and do whatever Your Word is asking me to do. The key number two is, for my heart to be prepared, I must daily consume God's Word. And we must do it all the day long. He said, wait a minute, I gotta read God's Word all day long? Again, this is not legalism, but I know this from Psalm chapter 1. That we know from the psalmist that he says that I will meditate on God's Word, on the law, day and night. That word meditate means this. It means to actually murmur. Or you could take it even a step further, to mutter. Imagine what would happen in my life and your life if throughout the day we're just murmuring God's Word back into our soul. I mean, just washing God's Word over your soul. The evil one, he's come to what? I mean, to kill, right? Destroy. He is not your friend. He will convince you that he's your friend, but he wants to take you down and beat you into submission. And if you've made a profession of faith, his goal is to get you to apostate. That's why all day long, we, me, you, all of us, I don't care what seminary degrees, I don't care what it is, you have to preach God's Word into your life every day.
Amen.
Man, you're struggling. I've been there. As I mentioned before, I've been discouraged. I've been in despair. And those are the vulnerable moments where the evil one has his foot on your throat and he's just about ready to take you down for the count. And that's when you begin to murmur, to meditate on God's Word. Wait a minute. Since my God is for me, who can be against me? Oh, greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Yes. You just whisper the name Jesus during those moments. Jesus. Jesus. And all of hell trembles at the name of my King. See, we got to be prepared. But part of that is all about our heart. And my heart's wicked and deceitful when it's absent the blood of Christ. And so now that the blood of Christ is on my heart, and I pray it's on your heart, though we're still in these bodies of death, and we still, as Paul said, there's moments where we do things. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Therefore, we have to constantly be in tune and fill our minds and our hearts with truth. Because if you're not under truth, how will you ever know what the truth is? But also, if you're not under the truth, how will you ever know what untruth is? That's why truth governs our lives, and the truth is God's Word. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So what did he do? He sought the law of the Lord. Number two, though, it says this in the text, right there it is, and I'll read it in context. For Ezra had prepared his heart, here we go, number one, to seek the law of the Lord, number two, and to do it. This word, this phrase rather in the Hebrew is just simply this. It means to make, to work, to accomplish, to carry out. If you wanted to put a present day definition on this, just obey. I mean, think through this. He prepared himself with the goal in mind to seek the law of the Lord, but also what to just not seek it and go, okay, that was great, I'm glad I sought it. No, once you find it, go obey it. Go do it, it says here. That's why this is so pivotal. It's not just enough to prepare. It's not just enough to seek. Where the rubber meets the road is when active obedience is set into motion. Write these verses down that I pray will encourage you this week. Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, looking at just one verse 13. It says this, Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now again, you've got to understand that in context. This is not a works-based salvation. That's not what he's saying here. Remember, we operate from a position that we've been saved by grace. If you're truly saved by Jesus, if it's real, you have put off the old and put on Him.
Amen.
There's going to be times of weakness. I get it. I live in this. But there will be a burning desire for the true believer who's had the scales removed to live in a way pleasing to God. I mean, just think about this. Think about how asinine this thought is. If we're saying, hey, you know what, you can come to the blood of Jesus Christ and just behave however you want to, you know what we're really doing? We're saying that the blood of Jesus Christ does not have the power to remove the scales on my mind and my heart. That's insane. When the person truly encounters Christ, all things become new, Scripture says. Not some things. How many times you met somebody and they go, man, I'm so glad that Jesus partially saved me. Whew, that's good. I'm so glad I'm partially saved. I'm so glad He partially freed me. It's not how He works. Now, it doesn't mean there's not going to be struggle. But He fully saves, fully frees from the bondage of sin, even though the temptation still might be there. It's not a sin when we're tempted. It's when we give in to sin, right? We know that from Scripture. It's very clear. James tells us all about this.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Write this other verse down. James 1, speaking of James. James chapter 1, 21 through 25. James 1, 21 through 25. Here it is. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. All God's people said amen, right?
Amen.
Here it is, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Wow. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it habitually and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I don't know how much more simpler and plain that can be. But you know why so many even professed believers rebel against this? Is because when it comes to obeying God, that's one of the most pivotal elements in our flesh that I believe incenses us and makes us furious on many occasions. God, I'm not doing this. You're wanting me to do this? This is not what I signed up for. Don't you remember the rules and the regulations I gave you? And God's like, no, 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 you got this all backwards. I saved you. You didn't save me, God says. So important as we process and think through that. Bonhoeffer, one of my favorites. Listen to what he said. Listen closely. You talk about someone who lived the life and it cost him his physical life. Here's what he said. You could only learn what obedience is by obeying. Period. Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. Have you noticed how much praying for revival has been going on as of late? And how little revival has resulted? I believe the problem is that we have been trying to substitute praying for obeying, and it simply will not work, period, end quote. Powerful, isn't it? See, Ezra had God's hand upon him. Yes, he was an expert in the law, but he prepared. He knew what he was preparing for, and he knew what the preparation was to. He then sought desperately. He was seeking with every fiber of his being. He sought the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. He then did it. He obeyed. That's why key number three in your notes is this. When it comes to obeying God, just do it. Seems so simplistic, doesn't it? It's kind of one of those you write it down and go, okay, what am I missing here? I know what I'm missing in these instances. I'm missing the action of following through on the simplicity of what God's asking me to do. God's going to handle all the crazy, good, supernatural things that excite us. He just wants us to simply obey Him. Just do it. And lastly, to do what? To teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. That word teach in the Hebrew means to instruct. But I want to bring this home in a slightly different context, because I believe there's many professed believers that think, well, wait a minute, okay, I'm hearing this, and this is my loophole, this is my exit strategy, here's the exit ramp I can get off on. I don't have to worry about this, because this is for pastors only. Wrong. Ezra here is showing us the perfect model of what it means to not just be on God's mission, but how to be on His mission. As we're preparing, we're seeking God. We're seeking His Word. What are we doing? We're obeying what He's asking us to do, but we're just not hiding it under a bush. Oh no. We're going to let it shine, aren't we? I mean, think about how just insane this is. The insanity of a lot of professed believers that I encounter is that they claim to have this blood that's freed them. They claim to have been set free from the bondage of sin and pain and shame and guilt. They claim that there's power now in their lives. They claim there's a joy unspeakable. They claim that their life is no longer the same. Their life is no longer their own. Yet they won't go tell a soul. No wonder the world looks at Christians like they do. What God did in your life was not for the purpose of you only. When He radically saved you and redeemed you from the condemnation of sin, judgment, and hell, He did so, yes, to save you. But He did so that it would be a billboard to a lost and dying world to show how great He really is and how He can save that person as well. And yet the temptation is just to, well, I just don't want to share this with anyone. How can you not share something that saved you from the greatest death there ever could be? 2 Timothy, write this verse down. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul writes to young Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So many excuses that I hear as a pastor from folks who say, "Well, I can't go tell my neighbor. I don't know enough of Scripture." Well, my response is always, "Well, what are you doing about it? Are you diving into Scripture? Are you mining the Scriptures? Are you seeking God? Are you combing it?" Well, no. Well, there's our problem. See, the point in this is Paul is telling young Timothy to rightly divide the word of truth. Yes, he was commissioning Timothy. Yes, to be that pastor, to do the work of the evangelist. I get that. But you have to take Scripture in context. And our next verses we're looking at right now, Acts 1:8, write it down. Acts 1:8 simply says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the utter ends of the earth." Paul's there with a bunch of ragtag disciples. The light bulb has not clicked on. They've watched him calm the sea. They've watched him take fish and loaves and feed 5,000. And they're still scratching their heads going, "Hey, we're just not sure about all this." And yet as that Holy Spirit came upon them, the illumination as the scales and the blinders flew off, they begin to see all things new through the lens of no longer the flesh, but through the eternal lens of Scripture, through the Word, the Logos of Jesus Christ Himself, and they were never the same. Oh, are these the ones who turned the world upside down? Did they do that because they got overly creative one day? No, they did that because they began to understand what the power of the cross and the empty tomb really mean for the true believer. Not to live in defeat, but to live in victory regardless of your circumstances. Amen. That's why this is so mission critical. Matthew 28, write this down. You know these verses. Matthew 28, write them down though, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, God's Word says this, "And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority," not some, "all authority has been given to me," Jesus says, "in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," in the Greek it really means this, "as you are going, make disciples of all nations," not some, "all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And here's the assurance, here's the promise, "And lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age." That's an amen moment, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, when you got Jesus Christ, the one who burst forth in glorious day from that tomb, that sin, the grave, nothing could hold the King.
No.
That, "And lo, I, Jesus, will be with you."
Always.
Not part of the time. All the time.
Always.
Why? All authority has been given to Him. If all authority has been given to Him, why is it that I still fear my flesh and my circumstances and what's going on around me? Because I'm not properly understanding what God's Word truly says. See, Ezra, his goal was to not just be an expert in the law, but to live the law, to live God's Word. That's why the last key point I want you to write down is this. Key number four. Not every Christian is called to be a pastor. Not every Christian is called to be a pastor. But every Christian is called to make disciples. Not every Christian is called to be a pastor. We know very clear, Paul tells Timothy and Titus what that office is for and who is to occupy that office. It's very clear. So not every Christian is called to be a pastor. But we know this. Every single Christian is called to make disciples, period. No excuses. I believe the American church is floundering in evangelism, not because we don't have new evangelistic techniques. We have more evangelistic resources than I've ever seen. I mean, it's amazing. You get the iPhone out and this and that. And it's amazing what the technology is giving to us from an evangelistic standpoint. That's not the issue. The issue is not that we don't have enough books or seminaries. Those are not the issues. I believe the issue that we're having such lousy evangelism is because we've made lousy disciples. And I blame people like me. People like me who stand in front of the people every week. And if we're not careful, we're not properly dissecting and dividing the Word of God and what it means and the critical nature of what's out there as America continues to slide deeper and deeper into this abyss. But it's high time that we begin to live as though we truly are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's high time we start telling our neighbors, our friends, and our co-workers that, oh, we have the answer. It's only through the person, the work of Jesus Christ and His finished, completed work at the cross through the empty tomb. And will you be rejected and despised? Count on it. But our goal is not to save people. Our goal is to be obedient. Because I can never save anyone nor myself. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we can be redeemed. And that's a work of God through the Holy Spirit. But God uses imperfect people like me and imperfect people like you to go tell your neighbors and your co-workers and your friends how great He really is.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.